The following podcast is a production of St. James Episcopal Church in Skaneateles, Atlas, New York, and features thoughts and musical reflections based on the lectionary for this week. It is available on our website and Apple Podcasts. All music is licensed to St. James for streaming by One License and Christian Copyright Licensing International. For more information, visit stjamesskan.org.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. The Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to your feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" The Gospel of the Lord. May my words be of you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Many of you are aware that we read these exact same readings every 3 years. And it is always fascinating to me how different the text can sound depending on what it is that is going on in the unique context of that time. In fact, today even the opening prayer sounded different to me than it has in other years because of the times in which we are living. And I invite you to look back at the prayer that you'll find in your bulletin just for a moment. It refers to the two great commandments, love God and love your neighbor. But the phrase that caught my attention this time was where we ask for the grace of the Holy Spirit in being united to one another with pure affection. In the past, when I've heard that phrase, to be united to one another with pure affection, the image that it has conjured up for me is to have affection for my people. You and my community and my family and my friends and the people that I know. But this year, when I considered this prayer, because of the fact that it is paired with the command to love your neighbor, I began to wonder if perhaps the grace that we're asking for is to have pure affection for a much wider group of people. Our neighbors are not just the people we know. Our neighbors are everyone in our community, known and unknown. And to be honest, our neighbors are everyone in the world today, all across the globe, people that we will never see, but people whose lives we impact and whose lives impact ours. We are all interconnected. So what does it mean, then, to have pure affection for one another? Well, it seems to me that having pure affection is having regard for another that is unselfish, that is sacrificially generous, and that seeks the best interest of the other, even someone on the other side of the world. Pure affection is the kind of love that God has for us and that Jesus revealed in his life and teaching. So hold on to those thoughts, the idea of having pure affection for others, and let us turn to the passage from Galatians, which begins with some pretty harsh words. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. Well, in the past, I have heard that message as being a personal one. As individuals, we reap what we sow. Each of us should expect to experience the consequences of our own choices, good or bad. But what if this admonition is not just about us as individuals, but about us as groups and as a community and perhaps even as a nation? What if we are reaping what we have sown? Today we are reaping violence, division, fear, bigotry, degradation of the planet, and degradation of one another. So we might want to ask the question, if we don't want to continue reaping these things, what do we need to change in our communal behavior and in the systems that we have in place? When Paul warns against sowing to our own flesh, he's a warning against prioritizing myself over the good of the whole. It's interesting that we hear these readings on the same weekend that we celebrate the independence of our nation. On the 4th of July, we celebrate the value we proclaim of freedom and justice for all. This year, in particular, I've been thinking about what freedom means. Freedom does not mean the right to do whatever you want. It doesn't mean putting my good above the good of others. Freedom, for those of us who are followers of Jesus, means the freedom to live my faith, which, as we have already heard, means caring deeply for the well-being of all others as much as I care for myself. Freedom is not free. It comes with responsibility. And as followers of Jesus, that responsibility is to live out the vows that we renew every time we witness a baptism. Now, because of COVID, it's been a while since we've seen a baptism in public worship, but in every baptismal liturgy, we all renew our vows. And I want to look at them today because this is the responsibility that comes with our freedom to worship. And the easiest place to find them is on page 303 in the Book of Common Prayer. So if you would just pick up that red book and turn to page 303. You'll notice at the bottom of the page, the officiant says, "Let us join with those who are committing themselves to Christ and renew our own baptismal covenant." And then if you turn the page over, what you'll see at the top is the Apostles' Creed, which is what we believe as the core of the Christian faith. And then further down the page, the second part of the covenant we make have to do with the practices and behaviors that are the way we live our faith in daily life. And there's five promises that we make. The first, we promise to study scripture, to gather, to break bread, to pray. Now, the most obvious way that we do those things is when we gather for worship on Sunday, but people also do them throughout the week, individually or in groups. The second promise that we make is to resist evil wherever we find it. And whenever, not if, but whenever we get caught up in it, to turn back to God, because we all get caught up in it, probably today. The third promise we make is that God's grace will be evident in all that we do and say. The fourth is to look for Christ in every person we meet and treat each person as we would treat Jesus. And the fifth is a promise to work to bring about justice and peace for every single human being, far and near, and to honor one another in the choices we make such that all people live in dignity. The gift of freedom that you and I have as citizens of this country comes with a weight of responsibility to live according to the faith that we profess. Notice in the reading from Galatians that Paul admonishes us not to grow weary in doing what is right, which sounds simple enough, but right now, after 2+ years of COVID and all the other things that are going on in the world, it's pretty easy to feel tired and discouraged about doing right. Can I hear an amen? So all of us need the encouragement of one another to continue working for the good of all. Whenever we have the opportunity, regardless of whether or not the people around us are doing so. And then finally, in Jesus' words to his disciples, we see him say something that could not be more true than they are today. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Now, I will say that most preaching I've ever heard on this text assumes that the harvest is admonishing us to evangelism, which I think is part of what the harvest is about. But I also think that the harvest means all the work that there is to do for the sake of justice and peace and the dignity and well-being of all. The harvest of all those things is plentiful. There is much work to do for the good of all. And so we ask God to provide the workers, to inspire and equip and send them wherever they may be, to do what needs to be done for the good of all. Bishop Deedy has issued a pastoral letter this week, and the canons of the Episcopal Church that require that pastoral letters from our bishops be read aloud in public worship. Bishop Deedy's letter is not only timely because of the events of recent weeks, but it's timely because it speaks directly to the scriptures that we read today. And in fact, I read what she wrote after I had sketched out my sermon, and there were so many points of connection. It made me feel as though the Spirit really was saying the same thing to all of us. I'm going to read you the opening page of her letter. Dear people of God, this past week's rulings by the Supreme Court, especially Dobbs versus Jackson, have been deeply painful and have resulted in many of us feeling significant anxiety and emotional distress. Gun violence, women's access to health care, and the degradation of God's creation are emotional, complex, and for many, deeply personal realities. This is a time for compassion, understanding, mutual support, and respect. And she quotes from 2 Timothy, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind," end of quote. She goes on to say, "Who we are as the people of the Episcopal Diocese of Central New York is unchanged. We are resolute in our commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ, fulfilling our baptismal vows." We've already talked about that. "Growing in our faith, seeking and serving Christ and all persons, striving for justice and peace, and respecting each person's dignity." No one stands alone. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, quote, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly," end of quote. She goes on to say, "I encourage you to actively support and encourage one another and to prayerfully consider ways of supporting the well-being of people in your wider community. Today, in keeping with our diocesan rule of life, I invite you to learn and to pray. On the diocesan website, you will find a copy of this letter, along with links to resources on the Episcopal Church's moral positions on gun violence, women's health care, and creation care. This weekend, we celebrate the birth of our nation, praying as always for our leaders. I invite your prayers for the Supreme Court justices, including newly sworn-in Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. Let us also pray for one another and all who are feeling vulnerable, that we may offer hope and reconciliation in our hurting world." In case you are wanting to think a little more deeply about how you might encourage others or take action for the good of all, I've included a half sheet that I think you received that actually has the baptismal promises on it. And one way to use this piece of paper, if you feel so moved, is to simply jot down notes about what you are already doing that helps you to act on these promises. Or maybe notice if there are places where there are gaps and there might be something that you want to do in order to take action on behalf of these promises that we have made. On the back page of the bishop's letter, she closes, and I want to close also, with a non-traditional blessing that is Franciscan in nature, written by Sister Ruth Marlene Fox. "May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer pain, rejection, hunger, and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and to turn their pain to joy. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in the world, so that you can do what others claim cannot be done, to bring justice and kindness to all our children and the poor. Amen." And she closes saying, "May our world be healed by love." Amen.
wherever you are on your journey of faith, all are welcome here. For more information about this or any program offered by St. James, visit stjamesskan.org.